Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy hump day, happy Wednesday, everybody. Johnny, Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours. First two segments, open phones if you would like to be a part of the conversation. 615-844-5600, 844-5600. Coming up at 4:35, Robbie Weinstein. He covers Vanderbilt and the SEC for Vandy247.com, part of the show. And then around 5:20 this afternoon, formerly with the Nashville Banner, Doug Segrist, co-host on the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. Like I said, he'll be joining us around 5:20. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday, Zach.
You know, Wednesdays feel weird now, you know? I don't know what it is. It used to be like a crawl. I always thought Wednesdays were really a crawl towards the weekend, but now I feel like it's a real downward slide towards the weekend.
Well, for me, I was, you know, during especially the COVID part of last year, it just seemed like the Tuesdays were like Mondays for me. And it always seemed to be raining as far as in the spring and summer on Tuesdays before we got back into having, you know, sports on the, you know, baseball diamond, on the courts, whatever the case may be. So far, I'm pretty good. You know, I've been, you know, dealing with Monday through Fridays now, and now that we have sports, this is an interesting time with everything, you know, happening at, you know, at once. You know, we have baseball, spring training. In fact, there's a game on right now if you want to check out spring training action. Not ready for that just yet. But, you know, you have, you know, the NBA, the NHL, college basketball, regular season. In fact, there's some conference tournaments already being, you know, taking place. I know the OVC kicks off or tips off this week as well. And then you have regular season across the board, you know, playing out. And then before we know it, we'll be talking about postseason action as far as March Madness. So I kind of like this when you've got all these different sports going on at the same time.
Yeah, I think March just always feels a little better because you got spring starting too. You got all, like you said, with the sports world going and just changes all the way across. Plus, for me, it's in my birthday month. So then it's like, you know, that's always a good little plus to have as well.
You know, you can hint all you want, especially around George. It's not going to get you anywhere. Just throwing that out there.
No, I'm not. I'm not looking for it either, by the way.
just throw it out there. Not unless you get some freebie he was able to collect over the years.
I'm not even going to get that. Closet. I'm not going to get anywhere with that either, probably.
George, I'm just kidding. Not really.
Not really. No, it's true.
You know, one of the other things that spring brings is, too, by the way, maybe an opportunity for Auburn to beat Alabama in some sport, because obviously it didn't happen in football, not happening in basketball. You know, Alabama last night taking care of business against Auburn. You know, they built the 10-point lead and cruised to a 12-point win as they knocked off Auburn 70-58. But, and this is one of these years, too, in college basketball, just because limited games compared to, you know, previous years, is the fact that if you get to 20 wins, you're doing something, and that's what Alabama was able to accomplish last night. They're now 20-6 on the year, 15-2 inside the conference. And I bring that up because this week, you know, if you go back to starting on Monday, Gonzaga, 24 wins, Houston with 20 wins, and you had Loyola Chicago with 21. That's it as far as teams ranked in the top 25. So Alabama joins that list. Just shows you, you know, how tough it is. Now, Baylor picked up their 19th win last night, took overtime. But if you had Baylor giving the four, then you were a winner in overtime.
I know. You should have took my advice last night, too, by the way, about the Grizzly.
Yeah, I should have just, you know, I did everything except, like, bet the mortgage. I kind of guaranteed it, like, you know, no doubts, all that. And, you know, I think I'm undefeated this year when I do that with the Grizzlies. I think with last night's win, I'm now 5-0 with the Grizzlies. When I say more or less take the words out of George Plaster's mouth and just say book it, been pretty solid with the Grizzlies when I am, like, totally all in. That's just like you push all in and say, yeah, I'm rolling it. Just let it roll. I mean, Grizzlies last night, solid job for them. And, And with that win, they didn't make up any ground on San Antonio, but they did make up ground on Dallas. So they're now tied with the Mavericks, both now 2 games behind San Antonio as far as inside the division, but 2 games out, and this is the way you play. And it was a nice win on the road, winning 125 to 111. And John Morant, I think the youngest player, if I'm not mistaken, in Memphis Grizzlies history, getting 30 or more points and double digits as far as assists. 35 points for John Morant with his 10 assists last night.
Yeah, and coming out here just a little bit ago, they sent out that he's going to be part of their Rising Star competition coming up for the All-Star weekend. So I wonder how that feels, though, as being a Rising Star compared to an All-Star.
I don't think he's rising anywhere. I think he is a star now.
That's what I think, too. Yeah. So I wonder how they feel when they're voted that way instead of being, you know, flat out an All-Star.
Yeah, it'd be
different.
It was
him and Brandon Clark, by the way.
Now, last year, if you wanted to do that, then fine. He's already a star. Now, he's not like Reggie Jackson back in the day when he signed a deal with the Yankees and he's bringing his star with him. We were not at that point yet. Hmm. But to me, he is a star.
Yeah, I think you have to be in the NBA. You have to be past 2 years before you can get into the All-Star game because now they do the Rising Star, which is 2 year players and then rookies instead of like the rookie game.
I'm not buying into that. A star is a star.
It should be. It should be.
I mean, if you're a rookie of the year and you can also be good enough to win the MVP, and not to say that John Morant's going to do that this year, but my point is, you go back to baseball. Are you telling me that if you're a rookie of the year, you can't be eligible for MVP? Yes, you can. Can you be eligible for the Cy Young if you're a pitcher and the rookie of the year? Yes, you can. And you know what dictates those things? Performance, not longevity. It's performance, whether you're on the football field, baseball diamond, in this case, the basketball court for John Morant. He's a star.
Oh,
period.
He's an amazing player.
Because here's the thing. Remember, you know, the Grizzlies made this run last year, and they were not supposed to be. In fact, they met their projected win total, and that was before COVID shut down the NBA. And this year, in year two of John Morant, that's just nonsense to me. Don't like that at all.
Yeah, well, you know, too, with him, it's like not only is he an all-star player, but he's also like a leader, like very quickly thrusted into the role of a team that was, I mean, in a void, if you will, losing Rudolph, losing other players out there, and they just had no one to look at to say who's our guy, and he, I mean, immediately took over the role.
Well, I mean, you could also make the case for Zion Williamson. I mean, is he a star? I mean, I know the Pelicans are 4 games under 500, but, I mean, do you look at him and go, that's a star?
Yeah.
I mean, forget about rising star. He was a star, and that was the beautiful thing about it, what he accomplished in college. You know, he brought
Hell,
his
middle
star
school,
with him.
What he did even before he got to high school. I mean, we've been seeing Zion Williamson's name on YouTube for years and years. And I grew up with the kid almost, it seems like, because I saw highlights for so long, even when I was in high school. So, yeah, that kid's not a star. I mean, he's a star for his talent, but like he's a star he's just popular. I mean, guy's got more followers on Instagram than the majority of the teams in the NBA do as a whole.
Physically, it kind of reminds me of seeing a picture of Derrick Henry and now watching what Henry did not only at Alabama, but what he's done so far in his NFL career with the Titans, especially with the back-to-back rushing titles in the NFL. But you see a picture of him in high school. He's a senior, right? And he's at these All-American games. And you look at him and go, boy, he looks like he's ready for the NFL. Not just college. Physically, that's a man amongst boys in that situation. Just looking at him, I mean, I can't imagine what that was like in high school, because you know there was some competition where you've got like a cornerback maybe wearing, if it wet, maybe 135 pounds, and you see Derrick Henry running towards you. It's like, mommy. You'd be like the player in Remember the Titans, the character played by Ryan Gosling, who says, I can't cover him. That'd be the same thing trying to like look at Henry coming around the corner, and it's like, no, I'm not going to touch that.
That's the beautiful thing about YouTube. Like I was saying, there are videos out there of kids who were, I mean, you're talking about probably 90 pounds, 110 pounds soaking wet, and we're probably 5'6", 5'4", something like that. And they're guarding Zion Williamson. And it's just, I mean, it looks like a 30-year-old out there playing against
them. It's not fair. But
There's one kid who did give him the business. He was a smaller player. I'll send you the video later. I'll post it on Twitter as well. But he legitimately put it to Williamson, and then like even hit a three in front of him and all this different stuff, and people went crazy for it.
I was making fun of high school players not wanting to do anything with Derrick Henry. Heck, we've seen him with his stiff arm. There's NFL cornerbacks that don't want to deal with Derrick Henry.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Josh Norman's still flying through the sky right now.
A lot to get to. How about Ole Miss? What are we to make of Ole Miss as last night they get the win? So they lose a game to Vanderbilt, a shorthanded Vanderbilt squad. They lose a game two Saturdays ago to Mississippi State. So just when you start wanting to write them off again, they get a nice 8-point win against Kentucky. And I understand Kentucky is, not going anywhere fast this year. They're 8-15 overall. With that loss, they're now two games under 500 in conference play. But Ole Miss, 14-10. More importantly, they're above 500 in the SEC. If you give Ole Miss those two wins, if they had knocked off Mississippi State and Vanderbilt, now you look at them totally differently if they're 16-8 and 11-6 inside the SEC. To me, that would mean they would be in the NCAA tournament. That's how disappointing those two losses, with everything to play for, how disappointing it was for Ole Miss not to take care of business in those two games.
Yeah, I think they're a good team. It's just, even a good team can flounder, and I think a young team like them, they're trying to, they're not necessarily young, actually. They have a lot of elder players on the team, but I just think they're still trying to get their bearings as a team, and you're going to slip up every once in a while against a team like Vandy who can shoot you out of the gym, it's tough. It's tough when stuff like happens, but I still think they're a solid team, and they're still a real threat in the SEC tournament in my eyes.
How about Arkansas? Talk about taking care of business. They certainly did that last night on the road at South Carolina, winning 101-73. Here's the thing. Yeah, they're 12-4 in the conference. They've won 10 consecutive games in SEC play. They started out in SEC play 2-4. Since then, 10-0. With that win, they also join Alabama with their 20th win on the season, so they're 20-5. If you could pick just one and to ride them as far as March Madness from the SEC, would you ride Alabama or Arkansas?
Man, I really like Arkansas right now. Like I said, I've been a big proponent of them, and the way that they're playing basketball, it just seems like they're a team that has the ability to put it up against another team instantly. And then we've seen the follies of Alabama, right? If they get to their outside shooting and it just disappears, then they falter pretty hard. Arkansas plays a little bit different. They're so fast and continually,
and they're physical too.
They're getting inside. There's just a lot of pressure, and I like higher percentage teams on the ground more than the outside shooting. So I just go with that. I think Alabama has more of the chance in the tournament to blow teams out. And I'm talking about the SEC tournament, but Arkansas has more of a chance to longevity inside the March Madness tournament, if that makes sense, because it seems like their play style is something that's classically trained. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you've seen this work over and over again in all levels of basketball. So that's why I like Arkansas a little bit more.
The problem with Arkansas, it looks like they're probably going to be a 4 seed. They could play themselves into the 3 line, but it looks like they're a 4 seed. And the problem for them to advance, they're going to have to, if they're in that position, most likely they're going to have to beat a number 1 seed. And that's going to be the issue. If that's why you definitely this year you'd rather be in that 2 or 3 line. So if you're going to face them, that means a trip to the Final Four is on the line instead of an Elite Eight appearance, for example.
Well, I mean, if there was ever a year that 1 seeds are going to be getting beat, it's really going to be this year, right? Just because
what Illinois did last night to Michigan. In fact, it tied for the second biggest win ever over a number 2 team in the country. And the poll has been out for, I think, if I remember correctly, 70 years. That's how bad that 23 points, if I'm not mistaken, 23-point win last night, what Illinois did to Michigan. Yeah. And just, I mean, look, I think that's good for Michigan, honestly. I think it's good for Michigan before, you know, the Big Ten tournament, before, you know, March Madness is concerned. I think you need a win like that sometimes to humble you. And Michigan was certain. It wasn't like a 2 or 3 point loss or anything like that. They were embarrassed. And you can usually take losses like that and realize, look, we've got the talent, but if we don't play as a team, this is what can happen to us. That's a perfect coaching moment for what happened to Michigan last night.
Considered them humbled.
Yeah, well, that's it, with a capital H. All right, 615-844-5600. Jeff in the Borough, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Ballpark? How you doing?
I'm good. Good spirits. How about you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Can't complain. Sitting here watching the women's tournament start today, first game today. It's a March Madness tournament time. So if I was getting one and done, you play win or go home now. So
I'm just glad we have it. You know, I that's one of the things that I think all of us, you go back to, and I guess because it was the first sports, you know, the NBA started it, but the first sport that was hit heavily by it was March Madness. You know, a lot of those conference tournaments were canceled. March Madness was canceled. And then it started with, you know, that stretch where everything started getting canceled for the next few months.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they need this year. They've got to have it for the money. So that's why.
I mean, I'll give you an example.
So
here's a Drake team this year, a really decent team. You know, right now it looks like they're going to be on the good side of the bubble, but they're right there borderline. But, you know, last year it was a team that looked like it could be a Final Four team. And that's the disappointing part of it, that, you know, you can go, well, you got another chance this year. But no, it's a different team, different players, different personnel. And in history, in 15, 20 years, I will look back to last year and say, okay, what would a Florida State team do that had two lottery pick selections on that team, three overall players selected in the NBA draft? What would Florida State have done last year? Those are the kind of things that when you look back as far as COVID is concerned, you know, the what-ifs of the sports world.
You can read about Dow's book all about that. He's got a book all about it, so you can pick that up, read the lost season. You can read all about it and see what would happen. So you can do that. He pushes his books every broadcast. Pushes out of his gala, so you can look at that and read that and talk about the lost season that wasn't, so you can read that. But it should be an interesting tournament. I'm glad the NIT's coming back, too, with 16 teams, so they're going to play.
And they're going to be at one site, by the way. It's going to be in with the Dallas area, so one site all with these 16 teams. Do you pay attention to the NIT?
Yes, it's going to be two sites. It's going to be in Frisco and North Texas, so they're going to be in a bubble. 16 teams going to be in a bubble, so. Well, it'll be televised, I'm sure I'll watch some of it. So I'll watch NCAA tournament too. Looking forward to watching it. So and everything. So, but looking forward to the SEC tournament. Although it'll be a limited crowd, is going to be not be as big as it's been in the past. As far as in Nashville, it won't be as big. But you know, who knows? You know, it just depends on where everybody's sitting. I know Saturday's the last. Saturday's the last day that Tennessee plays Sunday, but I wanted to ask you about that. How about Belmont last weekend? Death Valley, is that the death nail for at-large bid as they play tonight in the OVC?
Oh, I think I think that really hurts. You know, to me, the OVC will be a one team. We'll get the one team, and that's unfortunate.
But do you think if Belmont loses in the OVC tournament, do they not get at-large bid?
No, I don't think so now.
So if they don't, please, I don't want to hear the complaining from the national media about them not getting a bid. Okay, well, if they don't get a bid, I don't want to hear it.
I wish I could say differently. And look, I don't like the way they did the seeds. I like the fact that if you earned it in the regular season, I mean, you one still playing on the opening day. You know, one has to play eight.
You got to beat eight. If you can beat eight, you should be able to beat eight. Should have to be getting a double back.
Well, you should. Yeah, absolutely.
It's an easier way to do it, but everybody wants to do it hard. Double buys, double buys. Everybody wants to do it hard, you know.
But should you not be rewarded? Here's the thing. My point is you should be rewarded if you had excellence in the
I agree. Well, let's put it this way. Last year in high school, they rewarded number one girls team down here in our district with the number one bye, and they lost two teams in the two games in district tournament. Ended up seeded fourth. Going to the region, so it's not always a reward, is it? You lose two games.
And here's a good way of doing it. You could have done it where the 1 and 2 seeds both get buys. You have 3 games opening night where you have 3 versus 8, 4 versus 7, 5 versus 6. So you have the 3 games, and then you end up. Well, I guess you couldn't do that because then you'd have 5 teams. Yeah. So you could figure it out where at least you reward, or maybe the top 4 seeds get the opening night off, and play just 2 games. But
well,
you know, if
I
you,
think yeah, I think they're just going. They might do it just 1 year, but the 1-8 that 1-8-2-7 and that's the easiest way to do it. But some people don't want to do it the easy way, but that's the easy way to do it. Because to me, if you're good enough, you should beat 8 anyway. You shouldn't have to worry about it. You should beat the 8th place team, and if you can't beat the 8th place team, you don't deserve a title anyway. You don't deserve to get the Obi tournament title. You can't beat them, so. I mean, it's you know, it's the way I feel about it. But I don't want you to complain if Bill Mond don't get no at-large bid, just like a few years ago when Austin Peay didn't make the football playoffs. We heard all complaining. Oh, they should be in the playoffs. They should be in the playoffs. We heard that 3 or 4 years ago. So, you know, it'd be that they should have went to Death Valley and took care of business. But they couldn't take care of Richmond more yet. Because both them's got 20 wins this year. They'll be in the postseason somewhere, NIT or something, so. But they got just a good chance to win the tournament as Belmont does. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. But you know, it's an exciting, fun time of year. So, but guys, hang in there, enjoy your show, and appreciate it. See you.
Hey, thank you so much. I mean, you go back to what people sometimes complain when you get to now we have 2 wild cards, and people complain it should be more than a 1-game thing, right? And now I know under COVID it's different the way they've got that set up, but prior to COVID. You win the division, and then you'd have 2 teams playing 1 game. Winner advances, loser goes home, and then you have people who actually lose. You start talking about, that's not fair. And it's like, well, if you don't like it, what is the simple thing we just talk about all the time? If you don't like it, win the division. Then it's not an issue anymore.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be people upset that their team is right there on the bubble and then out of the bubble or miss the mark
part,
just barely.
You know what the beautiful part is? You know, the... If you want change, then don't complain. Because mm-hmm. if you've got the emotions and you're angry and all that, see, you like that. If you're the NCAA, if you're running a tournament, you want your fans to be happy. You want them to be upset and mad. You just don't want that part where they don't care. Because if they don't care, then there's a problem. But if they're at least showing emotions, either happiness or anger or whatever, that's exactly the kind of fan you want for your sport.
Yeah, well, Tennessee has been mad for a long time, and it doesn't seem like it's helping them get much better at anything. So,
well, God, you're so tough. That was Zach, by the way, who's the Tennessee Vols hater.
That's
just
true.
Just want to make sure.
Hey, I own that very, very much so. I have some great friends that are big Vols fans that get into humongous arguments about, but they can't argue it.
Because I'm a lifetime SEC fan, right? I'm a lifetime SEC fan to the point where, you know, teams that certainly have great traditions in particular sports, like, am I upset that disappointed that, you know, we could have an NCAA tournament with, as far as March Madness is concerned, with teams like Kentucky. Michigan State probably played themselves in with their win. But you look at, you know, Indiana, at Duke, they're in trouble. Because Georgia Tech knocked off Duke. So now Duke is in that. If you get any upsets coming up as far as these the mid-majors, as far as those tournaments are concerned, you lose some spots as far as those teams are right there on the cusp, right there on the bubble.
Yeah, and they should. You know, they have not – teams like that, their history does not get them in the tournament.
There's just certain things – just like we talk about how – you know, when the Patriots are relevant, you may hate the Patriots. That's good. But, you know, it just seems like the playoffs are more relevant when the Patriots are doing well. The same thing applies with the Yankees doing well as far as Major League Baseball. I know Terry would love to hear that, Terry McCormick, but I'm not a Yankees fan, but I appreciate their tradition, and it just makes it a little bit more exciting. And the same thing like with football. I just think, I know that you don't remember this because they haven't been really good for so long. But I think the SEC, as far as football, is more relevant. It adds, not that it needs any more relevancy compared to other conferences out there, but I think it adds to it when Tennessee is doing well.
Oh, for sure. When your bigger fan bases are, and especially since we live here in Tennessee, right? Like, if they're doing well, and I say this all the time, to anyone who gets mad at me complaining about Tennessee, our jobs, our talking on the air about sports, gets right. vastly easier when teams are winning, like the Titans, Preds, Vols, Vandy, and so on. It's vastly easier than when it's bad and nobody cares anymore. We'd rather people care. That's just what we want.
Can you imagine in 1 year in football in the West, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, not any good. And in the East that same year, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, not any good. How exciting would SEC football be with the other eight teams being the teams that the teams to beat, and those six programs I just threw out, the ones that were mediocre or worse?
Well, let me just say, Pac-12 says hold my beer.
Yeah, well, that's
I mean,
true.
You become a laughing stock is what
that's
you do.
That's the example of mediocrity right there.
Yeah.
All right, we still have an open segment coming up. 615-844-5600. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Traffic volume has increased even more so now on 24 East headed out towards Murfreesboro, 2700 block of Murfreesboro Pike. That's an accident over in Antioch. This one has injuries in the 3500 block of Murfreesboro Pike, 3700 Bear Hollow Road up in Jolton. The fire department is being dispatched to that location right now on a crash with injuries. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich now available at Princess Hot Chicken, 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Today on Hey Culligan, hard water hurts appliances. Go for Glenn in Glenview.
Hey Culligan, my appliances aren't that old and they're already on the fritz.
Sounds like your hard water might be giving your water appliances a hard time, but there is hope in the form of a Culligan high efficiency water softener that helps extend the life of dishwashers, washing machines, heating systems.
Hey Culligan?
Yeah, Glenn?
Yeah, hook me up.
Glenn, one high efficiency appliance saving softener already on the way. Let us help you out with a free in-home water test with a local Culligan water expert at Culligan.com.
You know, one of the things to love about betting on basketball is always finding new player props or game props that you like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay bet, and you can only find them on FanDuel right now. New and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short. It's called same game parlay insurance. That's right, every day, same game parlay insurance. That's why people go to FanDuel. It's easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet, easy to get your money. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to try same game parlay and use promo code Greg P. And sign up, promo code Greg P.
What's that promo code again, Greg?
John B. It is Craig P. Greg P. Not Craig, Greg P.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout this afternoon, sunny and temps in the mid-60s. Clear skies overnight tonight. Lows drop to the upper 30s. Thursday, a sunny day. Temperatures expected mid-60s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600. You know, we were talking about the huge win for Arkansas last night. Now that they've won 10 straight SEC games, they're right behind Alabama. You know, they're going to finish a couple of games behind the Crimson Tide as far as in the regular season inside the SEC. But, you know, none of that seems to matter as far as what it means for Arkansas with regards to, from a bracketology standpoint, that win last night. Joe Lunardi updated it from yesterday. They move up now to the number three line, so which means they would avoid, if you can stay there or even have an increase, one more notch up, which I think is possible if it's You know, to me, if Arkansas wins the SEC tournament next week, it will be Arkansas on that two line. If it's Alabama, it will be Alabama on the two line, Arkansas on the three line. But, you know, that's a big difference, avoiding a number one seed, most likely, that could derail your hopes of advancing to the last 8-team standing.
Yeah, you want to play those worst teams.
Absolutely.
It's way better.
At that point, though, you know, does it really, you know, and not unless there's some major upsets, and there'll be some early on, but.
Well, Virginia wants that one against the Golden Retrievers back from a few years ago.
I mean, if you hold serve and you talk about 1-4, 2-3, you know, you're going to be facing some really strong competition at that point. Hey, by the way, at the last four teams in, based on Joe Lenardi's brackets, Drake, Seton Hall, Michigan State, Xavier, the last team in. Look at the first four out. You've got Boise State, which lost to Fresno State. If you're Boise State, you can't lose to Fresno State. Those are really bad losses at that point. But Boise State, first team out, Utah State, St. Louis, and then Duke. So Duke, with their loss to Georgia Tech, they've got some work cut out for them. There's three teams ahead of them as far as first four out. And if you think about potential upsets when these tournaments this week and next week, Duke, not in a good situation. Next four out, you've got Indiana, SMU, Memphis, and Syracuse. Memphis, by the way, took care of business, decidedly taking care of business with South Florida last night. And Sunday, they'll be on national television taking on a highly ranked Houston team that's inside. They're number 7 as far as the coaches' poll is concerned, number 9 in the AP poll. Memphis now, you know, they started off slow. Have been red hot. They've only dropped one out of their last 10 games. If they can somehow find a way to beat Houston on Sunday, I see Memphis then making a charge and doing some leapfrog over a lot of those teams.
Yeah, I don't see why they couldn't. I mean, they're not a bad program at all.
But that's it. You know, as far as drama with the SEC, Ole Miss, once again, I think those losses to Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, even beating Kentucky, knowing what Kentucky's, you know, the NCAA net, which is the old RPI, knowing Kentucky entering the game last night at 65, that win didn't really help them all that much. So most likely they're going to have to advance all the way to the, at least to probably the Sunday championship game. Otherwise, Ole Miss is most likely looking at NIT at best.
It's weird because every year the same exact thing happens to me when it gets to this time. And it's not the guy's fault, obviously. It's his job, and he's doing it. But, man, Joe Lenardi, you hear that name so many times. And it's not – I mean, does anybody else make a bracket?
there's a few. But here's the thing. He is really accurate over the years.
Yeah.
And, I mean, think about it. How many guys now are doing as far as looking at the draft and doing mock drafts as far as the NFL is concerned. And I will hand it to this. And I understand, like, Todd McShay's in the same conversation now with Mel Kiper.
Right, right.
But, I mean, of all the guys, when I worked inside football, I mean, in college athletics, I mean, nobody did it better. Mel Kiper called everybody. He called not only your Power 5 conference teams, he called all the Group of 5, wherever they were back then, so all the Division 1, the 1AAs, he called everybody. You know, I got to know Mel quite well over the years, and it was because of the homework and the effort that he put into doing what he's been doing all these decades.
Yeah, I know. I just, Joe Lenardi, that name, over and over. You hear Joe Lenardi, Joe Lenardi.
Joe Lenardi, Mel Kiper, you know, as far as what they do. Now, you can argue, you know, you may not be fans of either one for whatever reason. Maybe they dissed your team. Maybe they didn't put your team as high as, or your particular favorite player as high in projections. But, you know, they at least from hard work, it just was an accident where they were mailing it in. They actually put the work in, and they've been doing it for years. And that's why.
Yeah. Well, I can always picture Mel Kiper because his hair. He's got some of the greatest hair in the business. Had it the same for what, since like the 80s?
we used to talk about that. Yeah. At least I've changed hairstyles. Mel Kiper is still wearing the same one from the 80s, I think. I don't think he's ever
probably
changed.
Probably got the same three-button suits, too.
Oh, you're bad. All right. Coming up on the other side, a chance to talk some Vanderbilt and SEC. Robbie Weinstein, he covers the doors for Vandy247.com. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. It's really picked up even more so on 24 East, trying to get out to Murfreesboro. Just give yourself extra time out towards Rutherford County as traffic starts to get really busy there. Also into Mount Juliet on I-40 through Wilson County, Harding Place at Danby Drive. It's over near those apartments, South Nashville. We saw that wreck being cleared. We've seen about four or five different wrecks scattered down sections of Murfreesboro Pike this afternoon. Just be aware of that as you hit delays down through there and going outbound. Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks coming up March 28th. That's Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.
Volunteer Tree Company is on the air saluting the brave men and women of our U.S. military. This proud salute is brought to you by Volunteer Tree Company, backed by over a decade of experience, a name you can trust for the very best in tree trimming, pruning, and more. Call today at 931-422-8469. That's 931-422-8469. Volunteer Tree Company, proudly saluting our troops and veterans.
Hi, everybody. I'm Kristen Chenoweth. When our servicemen and women return from war, they often carry wounds that the rest of us cannot see. Up to 1 in 5 veterans who served in Iraq and Afghanistan are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress. And often, even the best treatment, including medication and therapy, they fall short. Sadly, more than 6,000 veterans die every year from suicide. Thanks to the life-saving power of the human-animal bond, professionally trained service dogs can help. But connecting a veteran with a well-trained service dog can be difficult. Waitlists are long and training can cost tens of thousands of dollars, but service dogs can bring healing. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, please go to AmericanHumane.org to learn about their Pups for Patriots program, which provides dogs to veterans for free of charge. Let's help our veterans heal from the invisible wounds of war.
DQ presents How to Find Meal Fulfillment. First, order the delicious new rotisserie-style chicken bites from DQ. Then feast your eyes on these unbreaded, tender, juicy, 100% white meat beauties. Next, take a bite of the bite. Realize that unbreaded chicken loaded with flavor is finally possible. And last, call your boss and ask for that promotion. You may have started last week, but hey, if chicken this good is possible, anything is possible. New rotisserie-style chicken bites are now a DQ. Happy tastes good.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now, or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Coming up around 5:20, Doug Segrist out of Birmingham with the TV show The Zone on ABC 3340 talking SEC. Right now, a chance to talk some Vanderbilt. Robbie Weinstein, he covers the doors for Vandy247.com. Robbie, hope your week is going solidly, and as always, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Johnny. Three basketball games in 1 week, some baseball as well. It's a busy week for sure, when these sports cross over here.
Hey, let's start, and just like a fireworks display, let's end with a bang. So let's start with Vanderbilt basketball. How about the fact that scheduled this game on Monday, this non-conference affair with Cincinnati, and you have to go back 55 years the last time Vanderbilt had a non-conference matchup this late in the season. That was against Tulane back in 1965. Was this an opportunity to get some of the younger players more playing time and experience, especially going into the SEC tournament? What was the whole rationale by adding Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a part of it. I think also on top of that, Vanderbilt lost some games in the SEC, two against Texas A&M and one against Missouri, that are not going to be made up. I think they want all the games they can get because they are playing a lot of young guys. For instance, Isaac McBride is a redshirt freshman who transferred to Kansas. He's been playing a lot more recently. Trey Thomas is another one. I definitely think like the development of the younger guys was part of it. It's a quality game. Cincinnati has probably the worst team they've had in like 10 years, but it's a road game. They're still sort of a, you know, fringe top 100 team. I think it's a good game to add. We'll see if they come back next year or not. But, to be honest, my favorite aspect of Vanderbilt adding this game, or what I respect the most about it, is, you know, this is about playing games, right? Like, don't pack it in at the end of the season, you know, just because you're not going to the NCAA tournament or you're not going to the NIT. I think, you know, everybody's in this sport to play real actual games. And so I think I definitely respect that Vanderbilt is trying to get as many in as they can instead of just, giving up basically as the season, you know, comes to a close.
Now, Robbie, it sounds like you have given up, because if they win five straight next week, they will be playing in the NCAA tournament.
Right. Well, yeah, technically that's true. The chances of that happening, especially with Dylan Dessou out for the season, are pretty much zero.
Don't go there.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, not even just the five games. Like, I would say even more than two, there's basically no chance. I would say, Pippen is supposed to be coming back here either on Thursday or Saturday. So if he's really, you know, actually good to go and looks good and all that, and his injury, his hip injury isn't affecting him, then I do think they, you know, would be favored over Texas A&M in the first game. And then you play probably like Tennessee or someone like that in the second round, and I assume they would lose and potentially by double digits. But I think that, you know, they got like an outside chance to pull the upset if Pippen is playing.
Well, you say that about having to face off against Tennessee. The problem with Tennessee, they've been so inconsistent that
Right. Who
knows what you're going to get with them.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. I mean, look, they shorthanded, they showed that they could play with Tennessee like they did last Thursday, or last Wednesday, rather. And, I mean, that was a four-point game there in a game that had no business being a four-point game, but yet that's where Vanderbilt was. And so, you know, who knows what they can get done over – I mean, I can see them – you know, at that point next week, you're playing Wednesday against A&M. Looking at that, just take care of business, and at that point, take it one game at a time. See what happens. Not going to count on it, not expecting it, but who knows.
Yeah, and I mean, without Pippen, they did just beat Ole Miss, which was, you know, a kind of a bubble team. I think that was probably a fluke. I think they played a little bit over their heads in that game, and that showed up. Last night against LSU, which was just a butt-whooping.
Zach just thought for sure that Vanderbilt was going to keep it close as far as with that point spread. And I almost bought into that, except I remember last year with Vanderbilt football playing it really close, and here they were on the road taking on Missouri, and I was crazy enough to think that they could actually win that game. So I learned my lesson in other sports with Vanderbilt.
Yeah, I think they were a little bit due for a bad game also. They have been pretty consistently competitive ever since that Arkansas game. And, you know, the reality is that even if you look at the roster, you know, especially without Dessou and really without Dessou and Pippen, it is toward the bottom of the league, if not at the very bottom. So, yeah, I think they were due for it a little bit. But no doubt, I mean, they played as badly as you could have last night. I do expect them to play quite a bit better on Thursday as well as Saturday at Ole Miss, although those could easily be losses. I mean, two road games against quality teams.
How about college baseball? Now, I'm not sure which poll you like to keep up with. I like to, the D1Baseball.com poll and the coaches poll with USA Today. Any way you want to slice it, Vanderbilt, the number two team in the country. If you look at the D1Baseball.com poll, the top four teams, all from the SEC, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss, five of the top six. And the same thing applies, a little bit different order, in the coaches poll. Five of the top six from the SEC, including LSU at number eight in the coaches poll, six of the top eight from the SEC. But if you're Vanderbilt, you know, especially as long as you can avoid injuries, to have in these weekend series, which the SEC play is able to get launched in two more weekends, when you have Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter, two of your three starters for these weekend series in the SEC, you like your chances.
Yeah, I sort of think this season Vanderbilt baseball is playing the long game a little bit. We know what they have on the mound. They probably have the best pitching staff in the country. If not, you know, they're definitely elite. The question will be, do they have enough offense that they can, you know, win the whole thing, win the College World Series again. Right now, I would say they probably don't, but we're in March, right? So a lot of the guys on this team who are getting a lot of at-bats, who are starting games, you know, not only are they on the younger side, but they didn't get really much of a 2020 season, and most of those games came against, you know, like lower-level non-conference competition. So I do think that it's possible that a lot of these guys, for instance, you know, Isaiah Thomas, who's a junior, but really, you know, didn't play that much last year because the season was so short. You could look at, for instance, like Jack Bolger has been playing in left field. He's a freshman. Dominique Keegan had a blood clot for part of last season and didn't get that many plate appearances.
And he's off to a great start, too, by the way.
Yeah, he's playing great. And I think they're going to look like a different team at the end of the season than they do now. And if they don't, then they probably won't have enough offense to win the national championship. But I think it's going to be about improvement over the course of the whole spring for them.
Well, and you see these things, like they're only lost this year. They lost on that first of the four-game series with Georgia State, talking about Vanderbilt. And that was a game, they lose 4-2, but they had so many opportunities. And I think that, you know, we talk about this more so in football, but in a situation like that, especially since you've been away from the diamond for so long as far as being competitive, as far as college baseball is concerned because of what happened with COVID, that, you know, I think you can learn from those opportunities. And to me, those opportunities will – you know, when down the road, when you weren't getting those key hits, I think that part will come around.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And the other thing is there are quite a few other teams in college baseball that brought back guys who used an extra year of eligibility thanks to COVID. Vanderbilt doesn't have anybody like that. Harrison Smith and Ty Duvall, who was the catcher, both those guys were seniors last year, productive players, and they did not come back. They went pro. So Vanderbilt doesn't have the benefit of having that kind of extra experience that some of these teams have. So 100%, I think, you know, getting a lot of reps in close games will help them for sure, I think. And, you know, if they do get into the close games, we talk all the time about their starting pitching, but I actually think their bullpen looks a little bit better even than I expected, because Luke Murphy could be one of the best closers or relief guys in the entire country. He looked really good in the fall. And he has continued it so far. He's just been completely unhittable. I mean, you know, when you can hand the ball from somebody like Rocker or Leiter to, you know, Sam Loboke or Luke Murphy or one of these really good bullpen guys, it's going to be tough, you know, like you said, in a three-game series, you know, come May or whatever, in the back half of the SEC season.
You probably, if you look at the pitching staff as a whole, you'd like to, you know, get that ratio as far as strikeouts to walks. Is right now it's around 3-1. You would like to reduce the walks a little bit more, but still, things could be worse if you're nitpicking like that. And I think the fact that, you know, in some years with college baseball, you've got the one guy that you know is going to be there on that opening night as far as SEC play. Then you got somebody who you're pretty sure about. Yeah. And in the case that, you know, two of these three spots to me taken, and that means that extra competition, I think it makes everybody, as far as a focus standpoint, even more so as far as those that are trying to win that third spot on the weekends.
Yeah, I think so. And it looks like Thomas Schultz has pretty much beaten out Ethan Smith and some other guys for that spot. Schultz has, you know, I think I saw him a couple of places listed in the offseason as like a potential first or second round pick in the draft this coming year. But we'll see if that holds, but he's clearly, I mean, he does look like a very quality third starter. And beyond that, you know, Rocker and Leiter, as you mentioned with the walks, they haven't really been as sharp as usual so far. I don't think that's, you know, unexpected necessarily, because we're in, you know, February and March and they had such a long layoff. I get it for sure. I think they're going to come around. Like, I think they're going to get cleaner and stop walking so many guys. So once that happens, you know, I mean, they're already pitching quite well. The numbers look really good. So imagine what it gets to when Rocker and Leiter potentially are not giving out a lot of free passes anymore.
Well, soon we'll be talking about spring football as well, as far as spring practice and drills, everything going on right now as well. Do me a favor, let the listeners know again what they can expect with Vandy247.com.
Sure, lots of recruiting stuff this time of year, as well as men's basketball. I'll have lots of coverage tomorrow night from that Cincinnati game. And I actually put in my first crystal ball for Vanderbilt for the 2022 class. So you can head over and check that out as well.
Hey, we appreciate you, Rob. You have a wonderful rest of the week, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks as always for having me, Johnny.
Thank you, buddy. That's Robbie Weinstein. Check him out, Vandy247.com. Hey, here's the thing before we go to break. If you want to add a little excitement to your sports watching experience, how about doing it by betting on all the action on FanDuel? And look, there's a reason why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Their app is simple to use. They've got great odds in all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlay, and exclusive always on promotions such as enhanced odds boost on the biggest events to let you get more action out of every day and every game day. And the best part for me I like about it, it's the ease of use. It's easy to register, easy to deposit, and easy to find your bet. And right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game, and FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win your first bet. So just place any bet you want. Talking about NBA, college basketball, tennis, you name it. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. If you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started, and be sure to use the sign-up code, the promo code FRANKS, so they know that I sent you. Once again, that's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code FRANKS. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 800-889-9789.
Good afternoon. The Working at Rec 1400, Donaldson Pike, Harding Place at Danby, OHB at I-40 over in Hermitage. Several wrecks, about four or five different wrecks being worked right now, going outbound on Murfreesboro Pike during certain sections. Traffic's increased even more so now on 24 out to Murfreesboro. Ripley's Aquarium in the Smokies will be hosting Sleep of the Sharks coming up March 28th. Check it out, Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on.
Drivers have opinions, imagine that, on how young drivers are entering the Cup Series these days. And here's Kurt Busch's thoughts.
Richard Childress found a guy named Kevin Harvick. Roush Racing found a guy named Matt Kenseth and Kurt Busch. The owners were hiring drivers, and it felt more of like a arms race. Something changed right in the beginning of my career where John Deere was a sponsor at Roush Racing. And within 7 months, the CEO changed. John Deere's not in NASCAR anymore. Well, was it because of me? No, the CEO liked golf. And that's where the John Deere Classic was born. So I might have went off on a tangent there on what it means to be a driver with talent or what it means to be a driver with sponsorship. You have to do it all in this day and age. You have to have the on-track results. You have to have the off-track results and your influence through social media and the power of your name and your credibility to be able to move the needle. Give the sponsors and these partners the proper appreciation for why they're investing with you or the team. It takes a lot. It takes a lot from all these different categories. And so there's no right or wrong answer on if Denny's saying one thing versus Keselowski saying it another way. And there's different upbringings for many different people on how they've even arrived at this point. So it's endless with the amount of discussion we can have on this.
The Final Lap.
Hi, I'm Brooke Burke, and I have a question for you. Do you ever consider just how important your feet are? They're quite literally the foundation of your body, and if you don't take care of them, you're asking for problems. That's why I wear Skechers' new Arch Fit shoes. Skechers teamed up with podiatrists to make a shoe that provides total foot and arch support. They used 20 years of data to design a podiatrist-certified insole that distributes support across the arch, no matter what foot type you have. Plus, Skechers Arch Fit provides extreme comfort. In fact, these just might be the most comfortable Skechers I've ever worn. Whether I'm walking or standing, they feel like a dream. Just try them on and you'll feel the instant difference. So if foot care is as important to you as it is to me, check out Skechers Arch Fit. They're podiatrist certified, they're comfortable, and they look great. because when it comes to preserving my body, I know Skechers has my back and my feet. Get the support you need with Skechers' new Arch Fit at a Skechers store near you, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
Introducing new Kraft sandwiches at Slim Chickens. Try our Chicken Club sandwich with crispy bacon and cheese, the Cayenne Ranch sandwich with fried onions and Cayenne Ranch mayo, the Buffalo Ranch sandwich that's tossed in spicy buffalo sauce, or the crispy chicken sandwich, which is anything but basic. Slim's lineup of four Kraft sandwiches. The choice is yours. Whether you're driving through...
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you coming up at the top of the hour. Open phones until 5:20 when we visit with a former writer with the not only Nashville Banner locally, Birmingham News as well. He's now a co-host in the TV show The Zone in Birmingham on ABC 3340, as well as a contributor to the Montgomery Advertiser. But until then, your phone call is 615-844-5600. As always, we know you have choices, and we certainly appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. Hour number one in the books, hour number two coming up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.